Welcome back to Sports Talk. One must respect the bell. Obviously, we have respect for the bell, and so we thus respect the bell. Okay, I'm trapped in a sentence. Welcome back. It's Crunch Exchange time. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports. He's going to tell us if he's buying or selling the prospectus involved with those stories. There is also an option for pending, which we basically use more outside of this segment than we do inside of this segment, but it's there. So let's start with Kevin Love. Going to miss the next 6 weeks of action after having arthroscopic surgery on his left knee. Luckily for the Cavs, the playoffs don't start for 8 weeks. Love playing arguably the best season of his career this year, 20 points, 11 boards per game for the Cavs. But LeBron said he isn't worried, was quoted this week saying he doesn't need to step up his game because he has never stepped down, and that he and that they dealt with J.R. Smith being out and were fine, and that as long as he, LeBron, is in the lineup, then they can beat anyone. There's something to that. This is a couple weeks, though, after LeBron complained about the Cavs roster being top-heavy. The prospectus. You buy or sell that LeBron doesn't need to step up his game in K-Love's absence?
I think he will by accident. Just he'll be out there more minutes. Those touches. And by the way, he was shooting. You know, you mentioned his points, and there was some talk, I think, last year about his field goal opportunities. He's very efficient player, but he's taking 15 shots a game. So by accident, if LeBron takes four more shots a game, his numbers are just going to jump. So I think I'm giving an answer that is just a mathematical probability.
Does he need to?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, buy it.
The UConn women did it, Steve. 100 consecutive wins. They have had similar runs in their history. 70 games from 01 to 03, 90 games from 08 to 2010. This is the new NCAA record, and it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. There are some pretty amazing dynasties in the history of sports, but the UConn women have the record for consecutive wins in college basketball history, breaking the record held by arguably the best men's program ever, UCLA under John Wooden. Gino Auriemma also passed Wooden for the most NCAA titles last year by getting his 11th. He's 11 of 11, by the way. Now, some have said the UConn's competition isn't up to snuff, so that the team can play poorly by its standards and still easily beat any team they can face. So I'm not going to ask about other sports dynasties because, you know, they're different sports, but just for college basketball, and it's basically an argument between those two programs, the prospectus. Auriemma's run at UConn is a bigger dynasty than UCLA's under Wooden.
Wow. I thought you were going to ask me, is it the biggest dynasty ever?
Nope.
And to me, that's Edwin Moses. 107 consecutive finals between 77 and 87.
That's not what I'm asking you, though.
All right. Is it a bigger dynasty than Wooden's? Can I say tie?
Can you say pending? He's going to need another three or four titles.
So he's got one more title. He's won 100 in a row. UCLA, even when they won the 88 in a row, it got derailed and they didn't win the title that year. So it's crazy.
Auriemma has done this three times as well.
Yeah,
70, 90, 100.
Yeah, it's not a matter of significance and just popularity should not come into play, just analytical evaluation. I'm gonna buy that. I'm going to say Jess.
We have seen a lot of tremendous hairstyles in sports over the years. Dion's Jerry Curl, Ben Wallace's Afro, Anthony Mason used to cut designs into the side of his head. Obviously, AI had the rose, Troy Polamalu's long locks, Rodman's dye jobs, Andre Agassi's wigs. There are so many amazing ways that athletes have exposed their unique personalities through their hair. But on his 45th birthday today, we are going to honor one specific style that has never changed. Yarmer Yager's mullet. On the Mount Rushmore of haircuts, the business side is George Washington, while the party portion is definitely Honest Abe. Spans all generations. It's one of the few consistencies in sports. Even when he trims it, he still leaves room for the case of Molson's in the back. The prospectus. So here's the most vital Crunch Exchange question you've ever received. Do you buy or sell Yager's hair as the best in the history of sports?
Best in the history of sports.
Yes.
It's as recognizable as any in the history of sports. I don't know. Jordan's bald head is pretty recognizable.
Interesting.
But
the lack of hair.
It does not count.
Yeah, is that a style?
I don't know. He had hair when he wanted it.
Now, that's a transcendent discussion in and of itself.
I'm going to just have to sell that. I'm going to need more time to think about it, but I know the answer's no. I just don't know why. Sell it.
I probably got to go like Polamalu or something.
Okay,
I don't know.
Both of you guys, when you get a chance, and you're millennials out there, Google Oscar Gamble hairstyle. His afro was so big, he had to hairpin his Yankee hat on to keep it on.
Coco Crisp had a good one. Coco had a good one a couple of years ago too.
Oh, that he's bald compared to Oscar Gamble. Oscar Gamble without his afro was like 6'1". He was 11'9" with it.
11'9".
He looks ridiculous.
Look, show him the picture.
That's really good. That must be annoying though. I mean, having to put your hat on over that all the time.
Lefty, anyway. Number 17, power hitter in that 77 Yankee team.
There was a report circulating yesterday from the Washington Post that the details of a fight between Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather were basically agreed upon, was set to be announced in the next couple weeks. Then that report began to flounder as people realized that it was being sourced from a tabloid in Ireland. Dana White said there was no deal in place and it likely wasn't going to happen. Then Floyd himself posted on Instagram saying he's happily retired and that if there was going to be a fight, then he would be the first to tell people. But this was also on the heels of him telling Stephen A. Smith that he was very, very close to an agreement. So Floyd essentially started the rumor, then squashed it within a couple of days, which should leave some skeptical. He previously scoffed at $25 million for the fight, but if the dollar amount is raised, let's just say Floyd has never been a guy to turn down a lot of cash, especially that much cash. The prospectus, you buy or sell that this fight is dead.
By the way, you give me $25 million, I'll buy a bunch of stuff.
He gambles that on sporting events.
And then tweets about it, but only when he wins.
Yep.
I'll tell you what.
He gambled that on an Oregon basketball game, didn't he? It was like $1 million.
As somebody who's been to Atlantic City and Vegas and a degenerate better for a long chunk of his life, the guys who were telling you about what they won, they're always down.
Yeah.
It's so easy to talk about your winning bets. Let me put it this way. If you have your winning bets memorized, that means you can't remember all the losses.
Yeah, luckily for him, he has that $100 million pillow to fall on.
That helps.
Yeah.
I guess to say it's dead right now, right this second, is crazy because, like you said, if they get the green light from Dana White and a boxing promoter gets a hold of it, and all of a sudden they get wind that for $60 they could crush the pay-per-view, you know this is not dead. And at his age, I mean, Mayweather could probably double his net worth. So I'm going to actually sell that rather emphatically.
From the how many times are we going to talk about this before we stop caring department, Tiger Woods was forced to back out of two events in 2 weeks because of back spasms. He even canceled a presser today for a tournament his foundation is hosting because of it. Seems like a never-ending list of maladies are keeping the once best golfer on the planet from even being able to step on a course. The discussion has always been about if Tiger will golf again, but never about if Tiger should golf again. He's one of the best golfers ever, but doesn't appear to be any threat to Jack's majors record simply because he can't physically golf. He's already one of the richest athletes on earth, even with the insane amount of money he has to give his ex-wife. So it's not like Tiger has to go out there and force it. Tiger could conceivably walk away right now, be rich, make appearances on the circuit every once in a while, and have no pressure the rest of his days. So how about it? The prospectus. Tiger Woods should walk away from competitive golf.
By the way, the fact that he pays his wife an incredible amount of money.
So much money.
It's because he's an idiot.
Yes.
Think about Tiger. Listen. I think you're a sleazebag. I know what you're doing. Here.
He's just, like, go on.
Just for the principle, here's a second cell phone. Leave it at your office, at your club. You don't bring it home, you dumbass. And now that I mention it, you should have to pay Elon double just for being a dope. It's too soon to say he should walk away. But that doesn't mean that in 6 months, if he hasn't been in a competitive tournament and can't swing, that he won't. But right now, at nearly 4 o'clock on the 15th of February, I'm going to say no. I'm going to sell that.
Well, that seems like a really good opportunity for
it
pending.
It was, but the answer right now is no, because it's only been a couple of weeks.
Okay.
With each passing day, it gets closer to buying, rather. I don't know if there'll ever be a pending.
All right, last one here. Magic Johnson in the news this week for basically saying he wants Jim Buss's job. In an interview with Max Kellerman, he was asked if he would be a Phil Jackson type if he were in a more powerful role with the Lakers. He admitted he would like to become Lakers exec VP of B-ball operations, whatever the heck Buss is.
Long time.
And that he would work on a strategy to bring them back to prominence in the next 3 to 5 years. Side note, Buss himself said he will resign if the Lakers aren't competitive within 3 to 4 years. This is the third season of that promise, and the team still sucks. Magic is a fantastic name on paper to run the Lakers, and he has a history of successful business practices, owning Starbucks, Burger King, TGI Fridays franchises, the theater chain he has, investing in the Dodgers, who have been competitive at least for a while. Jim Buss, of course, part owner and exec VP of B-ball, blah, blah, blah. So he wouldn't actually leave the team if he resigned. But the prospectus, Magic becoming Lakers executive VP of basketball operations, would be a smart move. That's a long title, by the way.
By the way, we've seen briefly for 16 games Magic as coach. Magic is a great businessman. Magic also comes up with a brilliant idea. In the offseason, he tweets, the Lakers should go after good players. This is a disaster. There's no chance he could be successful in the front office. I just don't buy it, and therefore, I'm selling it.